Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, thank you for tuning in. It's Michael Bagram. The program is every Tuesday morning between 10 and 11, so I really appreciate you tuning in. In particular, it's on a public holiday, so thank you very much. Well, talking about public holidays, and I will talk a little bit about it before I introduce you to my guest, as I always have. It's Youth Day today from 1976. It's 50 years since that day, and it's quite a character. We see it because I don't see today as a celebration. I see it as a commemoration. And maybe it's time 50 years later to reset, to relook at this. Remember that they marched in 1976 against the education. It was against Afrikaans at the time. And in fact, I believe today it's still bad. We have 75% youth unemployment. Black children have been completely let down. Their promises, but continued failure. We are not putting people out into the market fit for purpose. And it's sad. It's a situation where in South Africa today, I think we failed those very people that marched in 1976. And in fact, now we are almost as bad as reflecting the education system then as we now reflecting it. I believe that we've let the people down completely. The technical colleges, most of them have been destroyed. Schools are under-resourced. We can celebrate certain things, yes. We can celebrate political freedom, yes. But it's not freedom. It's not freedom for the youth of today. And at the end of the day, we can celebrate some little successes that we're seeing. There's some bright lights. I mean, we can take Ort in South Africa, who are going out, reaching out to schools, teaching science, maths, coding. They're doing wonderful work, Ort, and in particular, Ort, Johannesburg and Cape Town, and I salute them. But unfortunately, they're still a drop in the ocean. Yesterday, we had the Youth Parliament, but there's not much to celebrate. And Zama Billy, MP in Zama Billy, a DA MP, chaired that meeting. And unfortunately, he had to remark that we have actually failed our youth today. And we know that we have to get it right. We can't sit on this. It's a legacy, and the legacy has to be respected and improved upon. We can't leave it. We're going to have a quick ad break. Pay the bills. Thank you.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, thank you. You have Michael Bagram with you this morning between 10 and 11. Every Tuesday between 10 and 11, we have a wonderful guest I'm going to introduce you just now. We did speak a little bit about Youth Day, celebrating and commemorating 1976. I don't see it as a celebration. And one commemoration that we must bear in mind are the Soweto 11, who were arrested and tried for treason. They sacrificed, they pushed forward for the youth to survive into this current era, but they're not getting their answers. So that's Soweto 11. We owe it to them. We owe it to the youth of 1976 to actually make sure that we start properly educating our youth so that they too can have a taste of the economy in South Africa today. Now, just to hand over to you before I ask her to speak, I have Mrs. Barbara Donan, a teacher, and it's wonderful that I have her here on Youth Day because she has dedicated her life to education, and education has been the cornerstone of everything she does. She's had different careers in her life. I'll quickly go through them, and then I'll go through some of the issues that she's raised over the time. But she first was a public relations officer in a shopping mall in Pretoria. She worked then at the South African Embassy in London. And then, of course, she went off to Weizmann's Primary School, which is part of the United Herzliya School system. She started as a volunteer. She called it the Shared and Paired Mom. I'm not sure what that is. But when her eldest son started grade one in 1990, and then she finally retired in 2019. During that time, she was a substitute librarian. And in fact, I must just tell you, she's still a librarian at a school that you might share a little bit about that school now, of outreach work. And she was the head of the foundation phase at Weizmann School. She always encouraged reading and the love of books. and has a passion. She's loved taking library classes as well as that shared and paired. When she retired, she managed to travel quite a bit, and just before lockdown, she had done quite a bit of traveling. She continues to be involved in reading and teaching. Now, Barbara, first of all, thank you for giving up of your time, especially on Youth Day. And I think it's so fortuitous that you're with us on Youth Day. Tell us a little bit about your early career, what school you went to. Then you met your husband, Michael, who happens to be our next door neighbor. You are next door neighbor between Michael and Barbara. We see them often. But Barbara, first tell us about your early career and how you got into the love of teaching.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Thank you for inviting me. How did I get into my... I went to a girls' school, St. Susie Girls' School in Newlands. And when I matriculated, I wasn't going to university, but I was having such a lovely holiday that... And varsity started in March, and I thought I was going to go to Secretarial College, which started in January. But I thought, you know, I have a lovely holiday, I'm going to go to university. Then I didn't know what to do to go to university, and teaching was available, and I thought, okay, I'll give it a go. But I really didn't think I wasn't like a passionate, dedicated teacher from a child. I just started it because it was something to do at university and I thought I could cope with it. And even when I qualified, I wasn't sure. And I did all these other things, which I can tell you about, but I just want to say that when I started with my son at Weissman as a volunteer, I just knew I'd come home. I knew that that was the right place for me. So that's how I started teaching. But before that, shall I tell you what I did before that?
Yeah, I'd like to know. Let's go through some of your early career when you went traveling, got married.
Thing, yeah. That's it. That's what I'll give you. First thing, I started at university and I wasn't there for very long when I met Michael, my husband. And that was, oh God, many years ago. I think we've been married for over 50 years. So it was a long time ago. And after varsity, he studied law, and he got offered a job in Pretoria as a public prosecutor. So we went to Pretoria. So I thought, what am I going to do in Pretoria? And I met a relative of Michael's friend, said he knows somebody who runs a shop, who has a shopping center in Pretoria, and would I like to be the public relations officer? So I applied for the job and I got it. And that was real fun. It was to manage the merchants, all the merchants, there were about 40 shops at the center, and also to arrange promotions. And my claim to fame, which was not very politically correct now, was I had a beauty competition, Miss Jacaranda. And it was very successful. I think it still carries on now.
Oh, I think it does, because I remember it really well. Yeah, I didn't ogle the girls, but I do remember Jack.
So that was a great time. I made very good friends there. And then we decided to go overseas. So and in those days, we actually were very lucky. SAF Marine just took private passengers on their cargo ships, and we got a position on the cargo ship. There were only three private passengers, and it was fabulous. We sat at the captain's table, and it was really lovely. And then we were in London, and we stayed in a friend's house, and one of the other people staying there said, you know, if you go to your embassy, they offer jobs to local recruits, you know, they locally recruit people. So I went to the South African embassy and I got a job. And it was, I loved being in London. It was a time when there were lots of protests against apartheid in South Africa. And there was a permanent day and night protest in the front of our embassy. So all the staff had to come in through the back entrance. But even so, it was fabulous. I enjoyed our time there, and I was quite sad to come back home. Okay, that's a
I also
start.
know, yeah, just I also know that Michael, your husband, Michael Donan, got a
Yeah.
job as a
Yeah,
lifesaver
he
at a
did.
swimming pool in
He
London.
did.
I
He
didn't know
got,
people
yeah. So
swam there.
I was working at the embassy, which meant that I could, what I didn't say is that we were only allowed to come into the country for 6 months at that stage, and we weren't allowed to work. But if you worked on the embassy, you were on South African soil. So
Yeah.
you could work, stay as long as you like. So that was also one of the reasons why it was a good place to be. Michael, however, was swimming. First, he was a lifesaver, and then he got promoted to manager. And when he got promoted to managing the pool, he got all our friends that we've made to be lifeguards as well. But they were very young, and they used to do things like they wanted a good suntan to, and they'd face the sun, not facing the pool at all. But they were still, luckily, never had a drowning. So
Very
that was a,
lucky,
yeah.
very lucky. So while you were there, I know Michael also studied.
Yeah.
And how long were you in London for?
Well, we were there for about 4 years, and he decided, it was so, we were so sick and tired of going in the country and out the country for him to get another 6 months that he decided to study and do a master's degree in law. And the staff, I mean, the head of people at the swimming pool were very good, and they helped giving increases and all sorts of things to raise enough money for him to go and study. And he did. He did a master's, an LLM in, what was it, human rights and the law of armed conflict.
Okay,
Yeah.
and then go, moving on from London, you then decide to come back to South Africa, and I'm not sure. Do you remember what year that was? Was it nine, am I around about 1975, or was it before
It
then?
was 83 that
Oh,
we
okay,
came
because
back.
I'm gonna,
84, 83.
I've had a look at some of your background papers. I did my research, and you did a stint of teaching at a school called Maitland
I
Public
did.
Primary School,
I did. Now,
which is quite a thing, and they've managed to find, which you had in an old file of yours, almost like a testimonial. But before you go into that, we're going to have a quick ad break to pay the bills.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, thank you. With Michael Bagram, every Tuesday morning between 10 and 11, we have Mrs. Barbara Donan, a retired teacher, but still running a library in one of the schools in Cape Town, going through her early career. But just before you carry on, Barbara, I've now picked up a letter from the South African Embassy, Trafalgar Square, London, dated 21 February 1983, and it's from then, the administrative department, and saying, I've known Mrs. Barbara Donan for a period of 4 years, and during that time, she filled the post of receptionist at the main reception point in the South African Embassy, London. It can be appreciated that this post is important, and it is the first point of contact for official guests and public visiting the embassy. Mrs. Donan executed her duties in a most satisfactory manner and has dealt with all types of visitors with skill and tact. She's also maintained her personal poise and dignity at all times. She has had the most, we have had the most pleasant, she has had the most pleasant manner and personality, intelligent and resourceful. I therefore have no hesitation in warmly recommending her for any similar type of position in the future. That's amazing from South African Embassy. Well done. But sorry, I interrupted you.
No, that's okay.
You had
That
come.
was a lovely time. Darvey de Villiers, the ex-rugby captain, he was my boss. He was the ambassador at that time.
Oh, wow. Okay. And you had
And
lots of fun there, I take it. Just met South
yes,
Africans of all walks of life.
absolutely. Not only South Africans, British people as well. And but the South Africans were, I speak Afrikaans, but not very well. And with my this accent, Afrikaans speaking people used to think I was English when they came in, and they'd say, "Oh, it's wonderful that you've learned to speak Afrikaans," which of course I
Yeah.
have. But anyway.
Okay, so you then move on eventually to Weitzman
Maitland.
School, Mate, after Maitland, you went to the Weizmann School,
Okay, I'll just quickly
and
tell you about Faith Maitland, just
yeah.
because you spoke about technical colleges and things. At that time, it was very much apartheid years, and the school was not a very privileged school, but they did offer, they were a very good school. The education was good there, and they had a woodwork classes for some of the children, and that's a pity that we don't do things like that anymore.
It is a great pity. Quickly, a story from me. I got thrown out of my woodwork class because I was given a plan and some wood and saws. And my colleague at the time at school, I think we were in standard six, which is now grade eight, we were given tools. He was a haemophiliac, so he said, "All right, I'll do the instructions and you do the cutting." And so we had a big plank and I had the plan in front of me. And he said, "Right, well, we're going to do three of these tables. We made these three-legged tables. We're going to do three of them. So start off by cutting the wood in three," which I then did. The teacher arrived and said, "What the hell are you doing?" And I said, "Well, we're doing three tables." And he said, "Those plans are of one table, the different elevations, and you can get out of my classroom." So that was my start. I was going to be the first Jewish carpenter in Cape Town, but it didn't work out. So yes, so you were talking about that
Okay, so
school where they actually gave people skills.
they gave people skills, and I'll just tell you one of the thing, two little incidents. The one was one of the parents. His occupation was he worked at the cemetery as a grave digger, and every time I had to shake hands with him, I kind of felt all frilly.
Wow.
And
Okay.
the other thing was there was one of a little child in my class, who was very needy, and Michael and I don't know how we did it in those days, but we asked permission to take him out for the day, and he had we took him to the beach, and he had never seen the sea before. When he lived here, he was
Oh,
in standard, it was standard one in those days. I taught standard one there, and he'd never ever seen the sea. It was remarkable. And when we went to fetch him, the house that he lived in, was the floor was all covered in newspaper. That was the carpet. It was very sad. But anyway, I wonder what's
okay.
happened to him now.
Yeah. Hopefully your teaching has paid off and he is a captain of industry. So
I hope so
that's
too.
what we want with everyone.
I hope so too. And I also hope that the education, that the pass rate from a trick at 30% will change sometime as well, because I think that's appalling.
Yeah, absolutely appalling. And we're hoping to see it. We're hoping that Minister Khwarubi, also DA minister, will take us from strength to strength and is starting to build up. And I know she's got plans to move beyond that 30% and plans to actually make the schools more resourceful. So we have hope. But tell
Good.
us, let's move on to the
Weizmann.
United Herzliya Schools, Herzliya Weizmann Primary School in Sea Point.
Okay.
You had been there before you actually officially started working.
You know, I went there when my eldest son started in grade, and well, it was sub A then, in grade one. One of the meetings that we went to, they asked for volunteers to work in the library, to work on a program that was run by Rona Dubo, who was the librarian at Weizmann, and it was a shared impaired program. And
Well, what is shared impaired?
well, I'll tell you, I volunteered and I never left. So it was a reading program for grade ones and grade twos. They came up to the library in little groups of about four, and each group had a volunteer mother at that time who would share books with them. That's the sharing part. And
Ah.
it taught their children so much. One of the things it taught them is how to be discerning. They could choose their own books. We, of course, chose a selection of appropriate books, and then they chose their own books. And we would read to them in this group where we'd share the books, and then each child would take home a book to pair with one of their parents. So that was the paired part.
Ah,
And
okay.
then they'd bring the book back and they'd swap it. Every day they'd take a new book in their group and they'd swap them and read them. And it was such a wonderful program, because what it did is it taught them the love of reading, the love of books, the love of reading, how to criticize, be critical about a book, appreciate the illustrations in a book. And they took the book home. If they liked it, they would take it home for weeks. They'd read the same book. Parents would come and say, they can't bear to read this book again. But the more they read it, the more familiar they came with the words. And that began their reading ability without them actually thinking that they're having a lesson of reading. It was just this love of reading that encouraged them to love books and to love reading. And I love that program.
Well, let me just quickly tell you about me. And I had the same experience when I was in grade one, sub A. I had a Miss Bernstein, who was our teacher, and she gave me a book. I think it was partially illustrated, and she read it to me first. It was called Dunno, D-U-N-N-O. And it was about this child who, whenever he was asked anything in class, he would answer by saying Dunno. And I just loved that. I, of course, answered everyone by saying Dunno after that. But I read the book for, I think, 6 months. I didn't want to give it back. And in recent years, I think she just passed away, actually. And I wish the family long life. But for years, I used to think about that lady, and I'd never seen her since. I went on a visit to Highlands House, the Jewish aged home in Cape Town, and there was this tiny little lady sitting in a wheelchair, grabbed my arm and said, "Don't you recognize me?" Now, this is what, 50 more, 60 something years later. And I said, "No, I'm so sorry." I said, "Maybe I've gone a bit pop, but tell me who." And she told me, she's Mrs. Bernstein. And she then told me, "You loved my book, Dunno." How's that for over 60 years later? I mean, I couldn't believe it. It was just the most amazing thing. Okay, so you then had volunteered in this library, and then you got offered a job at Weizmann Primary.
Well, first, I volunteered doing Shared and Paired for years. Rona Dube initiated that program, and she was the most incredible librarian at Weizmann. And we also twinned with a school in Khayelitsha called Natwaza Shlobo, which she also initiated. It wasn't really, I don't even think it was allowed at the time. There was the time when there were like tanks to escort you into the townships. It was a very political, unpleasant time. However, we twinned with them, and they also initiated a shared and paired program with them. They couldn't have volunteer mothers because, of course, most of them worked. So we started a program with their grade sixes and sevens. They would come to our school, and we would show them the shared and paired program, and then we'd do it with them. And then they would go back and do it with their grade ones and twos, which was wonderful. And we also then we shared with Natwaza Shlobo teaching with our teachers, and and the kids would play with them at break, and then we'd go and visit them. It was really a very special time, and that went on
unbelievably
for years.
Forward thinking of Weizmann leadership at the
Absolutely.
Time, who would allow you to do that.
Absolutely.
And in fact, United Herzliya Schools has always had that outlook since the 70s. And I remember when I think I was in, I can't remember how it would work, but it was grade five. I remember pairing with a school, which was a colored school during apartheid. And I do remember at the time going down there, and we had to choose what we called pen pals, because we'd be writing to them after this meeting. But we went down there at least once a week, and our teachers came with us. It was unbelievable. But that was Herzliya Highlands Estate. So that was good, but it imprinted itself on my memory very strongly. And just to carry on with that, the reality was that United Herzliya Schools, both Weizmann and Highlands Estate, and then eventually Milnerton and Constantia, all did that outreach work. So I want to thank the leadership. There are still many of those people around. Thank them for the wonderful work they did and allowing you, as teachers, to actually do what was necessary to do that outreach work. It was a difficult time in our history, a really difficult time.
Yeah.
But you then, after that year, you then went on, you decided to take a full-time job there at the school.
Well, it wasn't straight away. I was doing Shed and Ped for quite a while. And then I was offered asked to do a substitute, I think after Rona even had retired. And I was asked to do a substitute library term because the librarian then went on leave. And after that, I was asked to do a substitute grade, a pre-grade one that we had over there, and after that, a grade one. And I think I spent about a year doing substitute classes for somebody, for one class or another. And then I got offered a job to teach grade one. And then I never left.
Well, I've also picked up a testimonial that you received from one of the headmasters, Richard Friedman, who has also retired, living now in Cape Town, very much involved with the Holocaust Memorial Center in Cape Town. But I just want to read one little part of it to you and for our listeners to know who they're talking about. It's for a number of years before she started officially working at Weizmann Primary, Mrs. Donan worked in our library as a volunteer. When we needed a replacement teacher in grade one, Mrs. Donan, with her background in foundation phase and her wonderful rapport with the children, was an obvious choice. She worked in that capacity and in grade two and was employed on a full-time basis when the post became available. Mrs. Donan is a fine teacher who has embraced the concepts of cooperative learning and of outcomes-based education. She has a firm belief in the need for social skills to be developed in her class, and she has applied her knowledge to deep democracy to create an atmosphere where children develop good listening skills and the ability to interact with one another in a supportive and respectful way. This atmosphere adds enormously to the learning environment. Children feel nurtured and motivated to reach their potential. So well done to you and call it
the board. Okay, but that's beginning to be embarrassing.
No, okay, sorry about that, but it's there, and it comes from Richard Friedman, a wonderful, respected headmaster for many years at Weizmann Primary. So, yes, sorry about that.
Well, we had three, I was there for three principals. I was there for Richard Friedman, who was a wonderful principal. Oh, in fact, all my principals were wonderful. Richard, and then it was Howard Goldberg, and then it was Anton Krupinia, who has just been appointed.
He's just been here. Correct. Yeah. And mazel tov to Anton, if he is listening, and I will send him a podcast of this, because he's been appointed as the Herzlia overall headmaster of the high school, and I've known him for many years, an absolutely wonderful person. And I must just tell you that at the end of the day, Howard Goldberg, and I've picked up your testimonial, I hope you don't mind, but I want to read something from Howard Goldberg, who had given you a testimonial as well. I must do it. So you can switch off your ears while I just have a look at it. Barbara is the consummate professional primary school educator. She is adored and worshipped by her children and parents as a result of the selfless and nurturing manner in which she teaches her children and approaches her profession. Barbara's approach to teaching is to create a loving and positive environment in which each child develops according to his or her ability, and this she does to perfection. Barbara's classroom is filled with love, kindness, warmth, and structure, so much so that she is clearly one of the finest educators I've encountered in almost 30 years. Now, that I won't read the rest of it because your ears will fall off. But it certainly was. He was a wonderful headmaster, Howard Goldberg. It happens to be a friend of mine, and he was one of my guests on High FM. And if anyone goes back to have a look at the podcast of Howard Goldberg on High FM, you'll see that he actually mentioned you on that podcast as one of his finest teachers. So well done on that. You then went on teaching, and you stayed very much connected to the library at Weizmann. Mm. Tell me a bit about that library and its interactive ability to get children in, but
Okay,
almost invested, yeah.
I just want to say that my three principals were all different, but they were all fabulous educators and fabulous principal, and I was very fortunate to work with them. And I do think everybody at Hurstia High School is going to be very fortunate to have Anton there as the head, and the pupils are very lucky to
Well,
have him.
I endorse that and sing the praises as well, and we look forward to absolutely successful career, which has been many
Absolutely.
years. But let's take the school, Hertzler School, from strength to strength, and let's ensure that it develops further and stronger and better than ever. But yes, let's
Okay.
go on a bit after the appointment. You go through the second headmaster, Howard Goldberg, but you got very involved.
I was a firm believer in a positive self-esteem to encourage children to have a positive self-esteem. And I've spent a lot of time with that, not to the detriment of
Can I
teaching, of
put you on hold 1 second? We've got to
yes.
pay the bills. So
Okay,
one's 1 minute.
sorry.
Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, you're back with Michael Bagram every Tuesday morning between 10 and 11. I always have the most wonderful guests. And today, especially on Youth Day, I have Mrs. Barbara Donan, who spent her career teaching, involved in the libraries, and effectively over her career, I think it's almost three generations of Seapoint Jewish kids, and of course there were a few non-Jewish kids in the school as well at the United Herzliya Schools in Seapoint, Weitzman Primary. And Mrs. Donan has been going through some of her headmasters. She worked under three headmasters at the time. She had glowing references from each one of the three. But yes, Barbara, you were about to tell me something further.
Okay.
I think as you moved from Howard Goldberg onto Anton Krupinia, who's now the headmaster of the high school and about to embark on a new career himself, and we all wish him well and strength. But yes, tell me where we moved
Well,
on to
okay,
Anton.
I'm still in my grade two class, or grade one and grade three at one stage, and I was saying that really believe in a positive self-esteem for the children, to encourage that they have a positive self-esteem, and from that the learning is incidental. It comes much easier if they feel good about themselves. So I spent a lot of time in the classroom, spending time talking and doing things. We had a superstar program, and we used to meet, and one child got chosen every couple of days to be the superstar. And they got set in the center of a circle, and everyone had to tell them what they thought was special about them. And they weren't allowed to say anything like, "You've got great clothes or tackies or anything like that." It had to be something from inside what was special. Like they would say, "Oh, she's very kind," or "Oh, he helped me when I was couldn't do my work," or things like that. It was all good things, nice things that we thought of saying to that person. And each time we chose a child, they were so chuffed, they were so happy. And it was always something like, "I never knew that so many people liked me." And that was so
Oh,
good.
wow, yeah,
I know,
that's amazing.
it was
Amazing.
just wonderful. And I would tell them that you're the superstar, which is great, but with that comes a responsibility. So your job at break time is to go and see that everybody's playing with them, see if somebody's not playing with them, someone encourage them to join a group or take them to one of the kids playing. And it was so special. They really, really loved that part of school. And I think that was more important than teaching them maths.
Okay.
But it came anyway. You know, it was incident. The learning was much easier when they thought they could do it. And that's what a positive self-esteem does. It's so important at a young age to develop that and to encourage that. And it will help them right through their lives.
The bottom line is that, and I will get onto it just now, but I have also picked up some of the little comments. I won't mention any child's name. Don't worry, it won't. I won't break that confidentiality. But children had sent you, each child had, when you retired eventually, we won't go there yet, but when you eventually retired, each child had remarked as to how special they thought they were in your class, which gave them the strength to carry on, to enjoy books, to enjoy interaction with their friends. And each one made those remarks. It's actually amazing because I've been through all those remarks. I won't take you through them all now. But you obviously spent a lot of time with individual children. In other words, not just speaking to, say, 20 children in a classroom, but with the individuals and speaking one-to-one with them, which is an amazing, it's resourceful, but it's an amazing quality that you have as a teacher. Did you actually specifically go out of your way to ensure that each child felt at home and loved?
I don't think I went specifically out of my way to do it. I just thought it was essential to do that in the foundation phase, especially. They must feel nurtured, they must feel cared for, and they must be listened to. It's very important. You must hear what they're saying. And encourage them to hear what each other are saying. So when there was an issue with two children arguing about something, I would encourage them to make sure that each one has a chance to speak. They mustn't interrupt each other. They must let the first child say their complaint. And when they finish, then that second child can answer and or respond. And then the first child, and that in that way, often they would say, the one child would say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that I was doing that was hurting you, because they heard each other. They were given a chance to each listen to the other person.
Can I interrupt you here? Because I've picked up another document, and it's a tribute to Mrs. Donan. It's given at the time of your, just before you retired. And I know because I was there at your retirement party. But I just want to read a bit about it. You can close your ears again, but our listeners ought to hear this. And I read from it. Mrs. Donan is so much more than a great teacher at Weitzman Primary. She's dedicated and an involved colleague, a fair, strong head of department, a kind, considerate friend, and a wise and supportive mentor. Mrs. Donan ignited my passion for teaching when I first came to Weitzman in her grade one class. She taught me the value of holistic education, where the emotional needs of the child are just as imperative as their academic needs. Mrs. Donan is dedicated to building children's confidence and self-esteem. She has focused the values of Menschlichkeit pillar long before its adoption as an official school pillar. Mrs. Donan begins each school day by selecting a superstar of the class. It makes me want to cry, actually. And their own special attributes by their peers, a tradition many teachers have adopted following her example. So, yes, you've been quite an example there. Mr. Donan is a flexible and forward-thinking teacher who embraces the continuous development of staff. Her teaching practices incorporate the best of both teaching and without technology. I will always remember fondly her great excitement. Mrs. Donan is the greatest contribution, and a legacy will undoubtedly be her books and reading. So well done to you. I mean, I won't carry on, but I think it's important.
Please don't.
Because I won't anymore. But what I am saying is that your strong feeling about this was that you need to actually concentrate on the child, not on rote learning, which many other schools do. We're going to have a quick ad break. We need to pay the bill again.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, thank you for being with us on Hi FM. And I'm Michael Bagram. Every Tuesday morning between 10 and 11, please tune in. We've had a wonderful guest this morning, Mrs. Barbara Donan, a teacher for many, many years at Weitzman Primary. It's the United Hursley Schools, Weitzman Primary in Seapoint. And we've been through a lot of her career and her concept of bringing children into the school who feel great, feel good that they're teaching, that the teaching is actually handing something to them. So, Barbara, as we're coming closer to the end of our program, I have picked up a lot of notes, and I am going to read some of them, very short little snippets from children who left little notes for you. But before we do that, do you want to tell me about you reaching now the retirement? And before I actually read some of these, post-retirement, you've been very much involved in a library in an inner city school, an impoverished inner city school. Tell us a little bit about that.
Once I retired, I retired just before COVID. So I retired in December. COVID, I think, was in February the following year or March. And staying home for those that long period was very hard. I must say I was glad that I wasn't teaching, because I think the teachers at that time had a really difficult time teaching, as well as the parents at home having a very difficult time with the children, trying to follow up with the children. But I thought I can't not do anything. I can't have tea parties and play kaluki all the time. So I my neighbor, and I think you know who she is, Bags, you're familiar with her, Patsy, was running a feeding scheme, a wonderful feeding scheme at Good Hope Seminary Junior School. And she said, why don't I come and join that? But Patsy was amazing, and she started at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I thought, I'm not doing that. I was doing that long enough for teaching. I can't get up so early anymore. And then I looked at the library, and they needed volunteers. It wasn't a proper library yet, and it was fabulous. I loved being there to volunteer. And then they appointed one of the cleaning staff as an assistant librarian, and I was very happy with two other colleagues to mentor her in a library that we set up. And it was a wonderful, really special time. And I've been doing that ever since, although the library now has been, well, first it was renovated, moved into another classroom, and then it was renovated by another friend of ours, who you've also had on your chat show, Michael, Mandy. Her business helped to renovate it. And then after that, the Otter Foundation took over and rebuilt this wonderful state-of-the-art library that we've got today. And I still volunteer there, but not as much as before.
Well, thank you. I've been to that library, but before we actually close off, and I know we've come to the end of our program, I want to just read one or two little snippets of what children have said. And I read it. I liked it a lot when you spoke to us in such a calm manner. Another one, she was always excited to see us. Amazing that. She instilled a love of books and reading in all of her students. Another one, in the morning, she always smiled like a star. They all keep referring, a lot of them refer to the star when they became the star in your class. Another one, she was always kind and never turned you away when you needed help. Amazing.
Okay, I'll tell you one that I always remember. It was so special. Mrs. Donan, thank you so much for helping me in grade two. I would never have got this far in life without you. Thanks for helping me when I needed it most. And I think he was in grade three when he sent that.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Okay, you tell another me when. I have another one that I want to read out as well.
Okay,
yeah.
Another child sent me a note at the end of the year saying, thank you very much for teaching me, even though I knew most of the stuff anyway.
Well done. This girl said, if someone didn't understand, she would help them. That's just straight out of the mouths of babes. Another one said, she was very supportive and caring. I mean, it's just amazing. You've touched so many lives. I've got dozens of those comments here that were kept, And I want to thank you. I want to thank you, first of all, for sharing your time with us. It's really been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. And I want to thank you for a lifetime of good deeds through these children, through three generations, at least three generations, if not four generations, my calculation might be wrong. But these children, I'm sure today, are going on to great careers. This is what we need. We need this in all our schools right throughout South Africa so that we can celebrate Youth Day with aplomb instead of with the misery of unemployment. So thank you, Mrs. Barbara Donan. I really appreciate it. And thank you for coming on air with us on Chai FM.
Thank you, Michael. But I must say that all the teachers are very special and have a lot to offer. But thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you.